I've spoken on this before, but God's given me some fresh insight into it, so I just want to quickly... I'll be covering some ground we've covered before, but I'll try and get through that as quickly as possible, and let's just get the new stuff out of there that we might put this to good use. Ken was talking about God confirming the word, and my first comment is that before the foundation of the world, God made us, and he had a destiny for us. And what did we sing? I have a destiny, I know I shall fulfill. God has everything planned in our lives, the good and the bad. God plans. God works everything together for good for us. Well, I don't think this is a statement that you'll argue with or find difficult, but God controls everything in the universe. Would you agree with me? Absolutely everything he controls. And we're in the universe, so that means that includes us. He controls everything, every detail about our lives. He planned it all before we were born. And Psalm 139, verses 15 to 18. I'll just give that. I love Psalm 139 because it shows you the magnitude of God and the minute detail that he takes interest in. But if we read Psalm 139, verses 15 through to 18. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unperfect, and in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. There we see that before we were born, God knew us. He planned, he had written in a book every day of our lives from beginning to end. He planned every day of your life, every movement, every detail of your life. He planned from beginning to end before you were born. He's interested. He knows every thought that's in your mind. Before you speak it out, he knows what you're going to say. He knows every hair that's on your head. This is our God, a God of great detail. And he takes that detail and applies it to us. And so he knows everything that's happening to us. You know, it's very easy in our everyday lives, and I'm as guilty as the rest, when I'm driving and the traffic light turns red, it's like, ooh! Is God interested in every detail in my life? Did he turn that light red? I think he is interested in that smallest detail in my life. When the toast burnt, did God know about that? He knew about that. And he has a plan for it. You know, when the computer goes down, does God know about that? Yes, he does. He knows every detail that's in my life. There's a lot of advertising on telly about the level crossings and not gambling with them and going across them at the last minute. They bring disastrous results. God brings the line down. He brings the crossing down. Maybe right in front of me, but there will be a very good reason why the level crossing came down at that point and stopped me. I've heard Pauline testify how she was held up. And had she been able to go and not be held up, she would have been in an accident down the road. You know, God has a purpose in our lives, and he works every little detail for our good. He's constantly thinking about us. When there's a diversion in the road, when we miss the bus, don't start cursing and complaining and shouting and moaning and groaning. You know, the government's put the VAT rate down, messed everything up on the computer, caused us a lot of work. Okay, in the natural we want to moan and complain, but God says, hey, I'm in control, I've allowed it, I know what I'm doing, I want you to praise me in this situation, because in praising me I will turn your curses into blessings. I will turn everything out for your good. God works everything out, everything that happens to us for good. Romans 8:28. It should be, I think everybody knows this verse. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He has a purpose for our lives. He had a purpose in bringing us here. He brought us in touch with that neighbour who would introduce us to Jesus. He brought us in touch with the people who would lead us and who could form our lives. God works everything together for good. It's about trusting him. You know, the natural man always wants to work out what's happening. Well, God, why have you allowed this to happen to me? Notice the me bit. You know, we get in the way, don't we? We think we're all important. But God works everything together for good. This, Andrew did a message years ago on the fanatic in the attic. When something goes wrong, you know, the fanatic in the attic says, why has this happened? And the fella in the cellar, your spirit, says, everything works together for good to those who love God. And that's the voice we should be listening to, this fella in the cellar who's giving out the word of God. You know, our spirits, we need to get to a place where the spirit man will just receive the word of God and just reject everything else that comes against it and say, this is what God says. I'm not going to try and work it out. All I know is you can't contest it, devil. You can't do anything about that. It is written. That's how Jesus got rid of the devil in the wilderness. It is written. It is written. He stood on the word of God. We see that the devil was allowed to attack Job. The devil came before God, and God said to him, where have you been? And he said, oh, I've been roaming to and forth in the earth. And God said to the devil, have you seen my servant Job? And the devil said, the conversation went on, and the outcome was, yes, but if everything doesn't go well for Job, he'll turn against you. And God said to him, right, I give you permission to try, and we'll see what happens. I'll tell you, he will not turn against me. And we read in Job's life, he had a lot of opposition, he had lots of ups and downs, emotional struggles. But you know, he didn't curse God and die. He stood true to God. And he said some things like, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And he said it was all about him, Job, coming forth as pure gold. And that's God's purpose. The devil, God could have dealt with the devil at the very beginning. But you know, he will only allow a thing if he can use it. And he allowed the devil to continue doing what he's doing. Because, or while the devil thinks he's out to destroy us, God is just letting him loose. And the purpose of it is to develop our character and to make us stronger. What the devil wants to do is weakness, but God is just using it to make us stronger. A few weeks ago I spoke on how Adam was created perfect, but his character was incomplete. And it was through testing and through choices that he had to make that his character was developed and he was perfected. And that's exactly what happens with us. Jesus, it said in Hebrews, through the things that he suffered, learned obedience. And if Jesus had to suffer stuff to learn obedience, then how much more us? So we learn here that being a Christian doesn't mean that we're exempt from trouble. In Psalm 34 and verse 19, David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but, and a great big but, the Lord delivers him from them all. Praise God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. God's purpose is that we achieve pure joy through adversity. James 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There's a work being done in our lives through adversity. How do we get through this? How do we overcome the adversity and achieve God's purposes in this situation? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. In everything, when the toast burns, I don't moan and shout and throw it in the bin. I praise God. When the level crossing comes down, I don't moan. I praise God. Everything works together for good to those who love God. Praise brings God into the situation. In Psalm chapter 22 and verse 3. But you are holy, O you that inhabit the praises of Israel. When we praise God, we said before, didn't we? We bring God into the situation. That's what praise does. That's why God says, in adversity, don't moan, don't grumble, don't complain, praise me. Now that's foreign to the way the world thinks. The world says we need to complain about what the government's doing. We need to have a moan about what's happening up the road and somebody who's in competition with us and somebody who's done us a misdeed. We need to moan and complain about it. No, we don't. We need to praise God. Because in praising God, we bring him into the situation and his power is at work in our lives and in the lives of those who try to work against us. And then God will work everything together for good. So if you want the best result, I recommend now that you praise God in every adverse situation. And it needs to be a quality decision, doesn't it? It needs to be something we need to make daily. The lady in Proverbs 31, that wise woman, she greets every day with a smile. She's determined to praise God before she gets up. That today is going to be a day of praise to God no matter what. And that's the power in praise. Andrew spoke some weeks ago about Paul and Silas in prison, and I don't think that was a pleasant experience at all. I can't imagine what it's like to be in one of the prisons where there's rats running around. Nothing like our prisons. We went to the prison yesterday for a meeting down there, and I didn't actually go in the prison, we just went in one of the other rooms, but it looked a smart place. You know, that's not the type of prison that Paul and Silas were thrown into. There were rats. I believe they were in the lowest part of the prison. It's intense darkness down there. They'd been beaten before they were thrown in, so they were probably bleeding. You know, I cut my hand last week with a Stanley knife. And it smarts, it hurts, and your attention is drawn to it. Yeah. But you know, how much more Paul and Silas, their attention could have been drawn to themselves and to their wounds and to the fact that, why God, when we were trying to preach your word, did this happen to me? But they weren't in self-pity. They weren't feeling sorry for themselves. They decided that they were going to praise God. And what happened? When they started singing praises at midnight, the darkest time of that experience, in the darkness, they said, we will praise God. And as they praised God, an earthquake came. It shook the earth. It opened the prison doors. And everybody could have escaped. But you know, God released them from prison. We know in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 22, we're not going to turn there, but this is Jehoshaphat when he was surrounded by the armies, and God said to Jehoshaphat, put your praises up first and go out and meet that army. And as they went out praising God, God set an ambush on the enemy's camp, and they started fighting themselves. And the Israelites had no fighting to do because God did the fighting for them. They praised, and in their praise they invited God into the situation, and God went before them and routed the enemy. He'll do that for us every time if we will learn to praise him and not complain. You know, the Israelites, they never entered into the promised land. Why? Because they were always grumbling, moaning and complaining. They were, and they never entered into what God had for them. They cut themselves short because they refused to do what God said. There's such a lesson there for us. If we want to enter into all that God has for us, and we don't want to come out the other side with heart problems and high blood pressure and all this rubbish that the devil puts on our bodies through stress and anxiety, then we need to make a decision that we're going to do what God says we need to do. And God's ways are completely opposite to the world's ways. You know, the world says, if you want some money, well, hang on to what you've got. And God says, give, and it'll be given back to you. Throw your bread on the waters, and in many days it will return to you. In all this, God's saying, trust me, trust me. And so we know that the world says, hate your enemies. God says, love your enemies. The world says, if you want to live, go out and live. And God says, if you want to live, die. Uh-oh. Die? This man has to die. This flesh man, this worldly way, has to die that we might live the life that God intends for us, that Jesus purchased for us. You know, everything that has happened to us in the past, we can't change, can we? Can't change the past. There's lots of things perhaps we regret in the past, but nothing that we can do now can ever change it. But you know, God doesn't want us to think of our past as a chain around our neck, dragging us down. If only. I remember again Andrew preaching the if I'd family, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done that. We can't change anything on that now, so it's no good talking about if I'd done this or if I'd done that. We've done it. What's done is done. But you know, God works everything together for good, and he weaves everything that you make, choices, the right decisions, the wrong decisions, he weaves it into his tapestry. And he makes a beautiful picture out of it. He forms your character out of it. He gets you in the right place at the right time with the right people. He'll get you to where you need to be if your heart is right. And if you really want to do what God wants you to do, and he knows that your desire is his desire, then he will work everything together for good. So don't get hung up about the past. And the if somebody did you down, don't hang on to it. Let it go, because God will turn it and he will make something beautiful out of it. Your past, John could regret his past, I'm sure he does, but he can't change his past. But God has had a wonderful way of working that round for good, and that's what God's doing. Don't live in the past, just let God take the past and shape it into a beautiful future for you. You know, the highest form of praise is a sacrifice of praise. And I don't underestimate, sometimes there are situations where you think, how can I praise God in that situation? But you know, we have to be obedient. And God says we are to praise in everything, give thanks. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let us offer through Jesus, because we know that God is in control of everything that happens, and because we know that Jesus has made a way for us in every situation, then we can continually give praise God, give that sacrifice of praise in every situation. In sickness, get praising God and invite God into the situation. When you praise God if you're feeling sick, what's God going to do if you invite him into the situation? He's going to bring healing to your body. When you don't have enough money, then praise God, and what's going to happen? He's going to bring his prosperity. He's going to make a way where there is no way. He's going to bring finance where you never imagined it could come from. He will make a way where there is no way. When we're faced with death, God says, praise the Lord, because it brings the oil of joy into the situation. You know, it's a very foreign concept to us, isn't it, to praise God in those extreme circumstances. But God doesn't make a rule for one circumstance and a rule for another situation. God says, in everything, give thanks. Praise me in everything. Trust me in everything. Get rid of this fanatic in the attic who says, why? Just trust me. When I say do it, and I'll turn it for your good. You know, we're not bargaining with God and praising for reward, although ultimately that is what happens. But we're praising him in obedience to his word. That's what's important. Obedience is what God is looking for. And you know, to continually praise him means a steady decrease of ourself and an increase of him. Because when we're praising God, he is coming into us, and we're experiencing more of the power of God in our lives as we praise him. And so if you want more of God and less of you, it's time to praise. Praise brings God's power at work within us. You know, it never occurred to me, but the way to get to die to self, a way to die to self, is to praise God. And I never saw it before, but this is true, because, you know, self says, I'm hurt, I'm offended, I've been robbed. I. It's not about me. Praising says, it's about him. When I praise, I'm turning away from myself, and I'm looking upward, and I'm starting to look at him, and I'm forgetting about myself, and I'm looking at him, and I'm praising him, and I'm looking with anticipation that he's going to turn this for my good, and he will turn it for our good. We've got to trust God about every situation. Have you ever been in an aeroplane? Some years ago we were taking off, I think it was in Texas, and I can't remember where we were flying to, but we were coming out of Texas, and it was really, or it might have been where Greg lives, Florida, but one of them that's renowned for being stormy, and it was as black as ink when we got into that plane, and I thought, I don't fancy this. But you know, as we took off in that aeroplane, we went straight through those clouds, and when we got into those clouds, you could see the thunder, and you could see the lightning and the flashing and the blackness all around you, and it seems to envelop you. But as we continued through those clouds, when we got above them, Way! The sun was out, it was bright, we could see these clouds underneath us, but hey, they didn't matter. We were up, way up where the sun shines, and it was beautiful. It was spectacular. And you know, that's what praise is. Praise is that aeroplane that shoots you straight through those clouds, takes you into the heavenly realm where God is. And then you don't look down, because you know, remember what happened to Peter when he started to walk on the water and he looked down and he started to sink. You don't look back at where you've come from, or else you will start to sink. But you look up and you look beyond, and praise is that aeroplane that takes you straight through into the heavenly realms. Ephesians 1 and chapter 1 and 2. This is sort of a condensed version. But as I read this, you can see the principle confirmed of what I've been talking about today. It says, blessed, in other words, praised, be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, to the praise of the glory of his grace, that in the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and might and power and dominion, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where God wants us to be. And praise will take us to that place. You know, you may have a situation where you've got family members who have turned against you, who have turned against God. You know, don't be moaning and complaining. Thank God. In that situation, start praising God in that situation, because in doing that you're inviting, he's inhabiting those praises, he's coming in to deal with that situation, and very quickly you will see that situation turn around, because you're not a woe is me, so and so has hurt me, look at me, what about me, how I've been hurt by all this. No, you're saying, I'm praising God. I'm inviting God into this situation. He is going to turn it. He's going to work everything together for my good. And I promise you, he will. I'm going to make it lifestyle. I don't know about you. I think it's perhaps something we should just stand and just let's think about this for a minute. I've already said that there's lots gone off in our past that we can't change. Some things we were responsible for, some things we were not, some things we were victims of. But I want us, just with our eyes closed and just before God today, to thank God for your past, to thank him for the good, and to thank him for the bad, and to thank him that it's everything that you've been through that has brought you to the place where you are now, and God has had a purpose in all of that, and his plan is to do you good. What's good? It's a good thing to praise the Lord and to give thanks to his name. That's what's good. So if you really feel that that's something you want to do, let's just do it together now. Father, I thank you. Let's say it all together now. Father, I thank you that you knew me before I was born. Thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for my life. Father, I thank you for the past. I thank you for the good, and I thank you for the bad. And I thank you that all of that has brought me to where I am now. But Lord, I'm going to let go of that past. While I thank you for it, I'm going to let go of it, and I'm going to move on with you into a bright and glorious future. I'm going to greet each day with a smile. I'm going to stop moaning and complaining, and I'm going to praise you in everything. I'm going to give thanks in everything. Because Father, I know that as I do that, you will take me on that aeroplane through those clouds and up into the open skies where the brightness is, into the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And there I can rule and reign from that vantage point with you. And Lord, I shall not be under the circumstances, but I shall be above those circumstances. And Lord, I might fail, I might fall flat on my face. Lord, when I've made this decision, things might go pear-shaped for me. Tomorrow morning I might have an opportunity to start doing this straight away. But Lord, whenever that opportunity arises, I'm ready with you to meet the challenge, to praise you in every situation. And Father, I ask that you will grant me the ability to do that, because in my own strength I cannot do it. But I know that you can equip me to do it. I know that you can make me more than a conqueror. I know, Father, that it's your divine power that works in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. And Father, it's my pleasure to agree with you, to be obedient to you, and to praise you in everything. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you.